On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's three defeats. No, it's not. It's three victories and two defeats. That's a good start to the week for the weekend wrap team as they look back on yet another weekend of local sport. Rob, Steve and two Pauls. Yes, you heard that right. Rob, Steve and two Pauls. A debut tonight to come. But first of all, what are those headlines? The thing is, I've still not recovered from the cold at Lowfields on Saturday afternoon. And as predicted on this show last Thursday night, Flowserve did indeed go goal crazy against a hapless Borough-Wash side, with no less than nine different players on the score sheet, as the Works hit 13 goals. Sam Agar with his first hat-trick of the season, and a new face on the score sheet. Find out who later in the show. A comfortable 4-0 victory for Collingham at Askham, as the Villagers finally played a league match. All the goals coming in a second half. And it's now four defeats on the run for Newark Rugby Club. The latest setback coming at Loughborough. 25 points to 13 and 4 tries to 2. But in a tight division, they still hang on to fourth place. Newark Hockey Ladies return to winning ways, just with a goal in the second half, giving Mr. Halfpenny's team all 3 points at Market Harborough. And both men's sides lost 2-0 against Nottingham and Derby respectively. Reports, analysis, views and gossip from all these matches still to come. I did write, some things never change in football. Dirty, cheating, Leeds. You can laugh, Mr. Smith. But after that, I sat back in horror with the rest of us and watched what unfolded on Saturday evening. A sad, sad weekend with the Leicester owner and four more died in that helicopter crash. A Brighton fan dying at the match. And Glenn Hoddle still very seriously ill. Somehow, a handball doesn't really matter anymore. And there is only one place to start, and it's sad beyond belief, Tony.
Yeah, it's horrific, isn't it? I mean, I thought that Gary Lineker, who is Mr. Leicester City, did very well to present Match of the Day on Saturday night in the circumstances. I don't know why it took so long for the news to break that the Leicester owner was actually in the helicopter, but it did seem a heck of a long wait for people to actually begin officially to be able to mourn. But there's an awful lot of people coming to football for the wrong reasons. At Cardiff City, the guy changed the colour of the kit from blue to red because he thought that red would sell better in the Asian market. This Leicester City owner came into the club. He took on the values and the history of Leicester City Football Club and he upheld them. And he became friends with the supporters. He bought them pints, he bought them pies, he gave them scarves. On his 60th birthday, he handed out 60 season tickets to regular supporters. He was just a man of the people. He put millions into Leicester de Montfort University, into businesses in the town. He was just a great man who adopted Leicester. And the outpouring of grief is not something that's given for just somebody because of the owner football club. People loved him, you know, and the more you see about him and the more you hear about him, the more you read about him, What a great, great footballing man.
And I totally agree with everything that Tony is saying, and also a word for the pilot who, in the most tragic of circumstances and knowing he's going to his certain death, managed to put that helicopter down somewhere out of arm's reach.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great story that came out of a horrific one. The pilot realised that the helicopter was going to crash. He realised he was in a built-up area where there was a danger to people who weren't actually in the helicopter, and to protect those on the ground, he managed to crash in an empty car park. I mean, you know, medals are handed out for less than that.
Neither Tony or myself are going to give the ex-listed owner the disservice of trying to pronounce
Vichai.
We'll stick with that. Yes. But he's a true footballing gentleman, and it's a pity there isn't a lot more of them out there, as Tony quite rightly says. Mm. And Glenn Hoddle, one of the best footballers of our era. And that was on Saturday afternoon. We was in grave danger of losing him.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to the remarkable actions of a BT television technician, cameraman, whatever he was, who actually sort of performed a life-saving intervention with Glenn. And it was a guy who knew how to use the defibrillator. There was one on hand, and you know, he basically saved Glenn Hoddle's life. You know, and you know, I mean, Glenn Hoddle was just a wonderful, wonderful footballer, and is a highly respected TV pundit now. And the fact it was his 61st birthday, God works in mysterious ways, so they say. You know, but come on, JC.
He most certainly does. Okay, let's poor old Lester. They're just, you know, you can't get it out of your head, can you?
You can't get it out of your head.
And I'd love to see Forest shirts there and Derby shirts there, because you know, that's what it's all about.
I mean, it's put a shroud over the whole of the East Midlands, but it just shows, like in Newark, when it gets tough for Newarkers, the whole of Newark gathers round in Newark Sport. In football, it is a football family at a time like this. And like you say, I was dead chuffed to see a picture today of all the flowers and the scarves and goodness knows what outside the King Power Stadium. And in the middle was a Liverpool scarf with "You'll Never Walk Alone" on it. I just thought that was perfect.
Absolutely. Tony, try and find Mr. Hyde for me.
Okay, no problem.
While I remind you all that Wednesday is the last day for the Sports Awards nominations. We're getting very near to the end of October, and October the 31st is the last time you can put the nominations in. Now, we've been talking about them, you've heard the adverts for them, you've read about them. If you know anybody out there, a team, an individual, a coach, a volunteer, somebody that comes and helps every week and makes the tees, they're special, because without them, you haven't got a club. All you've got to do is go onto the Active for Today website. That's nice and simple. Active, number 4, today. Put that in your Google. It will come up. You'll see Sports Awards nominations. And all we ask you is 5 minutes of your time just to put the nomination in for somebody special who works hard for your club. We've got the team of the year. We've got the club of the year. We've got all the top ones, the sports personality of the year. We've got the role of honour at the end. And that's a fantastic achievement. There's only, I think, 13 people on that. So that's a fantastic achievement. But you've got now 2 days to do it. Please, please don't regret saying, "Oh, I should have spent 5 minutes and put so-and-so forward."
Well, somebody who comes in here every
night, voluntary
phone calls, you know.
Oh, my God, please. Let's cut Mr. Smith off.
Mr. Hyde on line one.
And go straight to Paul Hyde. Paul, good evening.
Hello, Mick, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Now I've got rid of Mr. Smith, I can talk to you.
All right, okay.
I headlined it with, you've actually finally played a league match. It looks comfortable, but you had to wait till the second half to make it comfortable.
We did, yeah. It was a very cold afternoon, a bumpy pitch, and obviously we'd gone to Yorkshire, so we knew we were going to have problems. Plus, we've got 3 Yorkshire officials, so, you know. they like a rough and tumble, which they certainly give us. But no, we again we were lacking, so we got three young lads in again and one sub. So you know, we did well really at the end of the day. Struggled the first half just to get the ball down. It was windy and stuff, and so we had the air dryer at half time and came out, switched it round, altered the style a little bit, and ended up winning 4-0. So it was a good win, yeah. And although they're not a great side without, you know, being on to them, but yeah, we've played some good stuff, and there we were.
So this is always the Paul Hyde testing moment, and your goal scorers were?
You see what I've got written down. My wife works on that now. Don't forget to do it, so you can... but you've nearly jumped me there. Right. Chris Funnell, 2. And Tom Moore, 2.
Chris Funnell is a name I recognise from last season, but I haven't heard much this season of him.
No, well, he was injured, and then he got a red card in the Notts Cup, so he'd missed 3 games.
Right.
So he's back, and, yeah, he's back.
He's back, and he's scoring, and that's yeah, what it's all about.
Well, Callum Ward was injured, and playing at the back was good enough to come through, but he was struggling to sweep up at the back, so he went up front. Good player, our captain. And centre-half normally, and he linked up with Chris and he got the 2 goals, and then Tom was driving from the wing-backs situation and took 2 goals himself. So by the time we'd done, we were well, you know, 4 and over really.
Yeah. Are we all looking at Clay Cross running away now and just playing for second, or...?
Now all we can do is, I know it's said by all the managers and that, all we can do is just keep taking, you know, one game after another and see what we can do. They'd look as though they will, yeah, you've got to be honest with it. A little bit like the Burnley manager, you know, against Chelsea. You know, if you're playing against good sides and you haven't got the opposite to do that, then, you know, you're not always going to win the game. But we've won a lot of our games through hard work.
It's interesting, isn't it? Clay Cross, maximum points from 10 matches played, 10 points in front of everybody else, but the next 4 teams below that, there's sort of 4 points separating the next 4, of which you're part of.
Yeah,
so there's a lovely little competition forming there, isn't there?
It's a small league, yeah.
Yeah.
Which we've been in for the last sort of 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll be there or thereabouts. We've picked up one or two extra players, strengthened the squad, and hopefully we can get away with, you know, getting on a bit better.
Paul, I did notice that Tideswell United does not seem to be in the Central Midlands anymore.
No, packed up.
What have they just... I mean, there's no way a team with a Stockport postcode should be in the Central Midlands in the first place.
I mean, it's the best news we could hear. It's like we ought to be having a night out, really. You drive there, and the last place you want to be going is, you know, if you draw them in the cup away twice.
Yes.
Money, time, everything, and it does cost people, because you've got to finish work and you've got to travel, and it's at the wrong time of night. So no, they've gone, and I don't wish them any harm, no, but they've gone.
But that was in the wrong league, Paul, wasn't it? They was put in the wrong league.
Well, it must be just on the border, yeah. Like. Just there on that area takes them either into Derbyshire or further, probably, and allows them to be in the Central Midlands. Moreland's were not allowed in this year. You know, that's why they've gone into the Lynx League. And again, it's geographic.
It takes some working out. You're playing Friday night football. It's Collingham at home against Newark Town, a local derby. 200-plus crowd. It'll be a good night.
Make sure you and Tony get there, then make it 202.
Well, one of us will be there. I'm not sure about him. He don't go out often.
Is he not allowed or what?
No, he's not. Now he's a granddad. He has to stop in, read bedtime stories.
Hey, I've got 11 grandkids.
11? Do you want 12?
Sorry, 9.
9? Oh, come on, Paul. Goal scorers are fair enough, Paul. come on.
I bet Grandma corrected you on that one quickly.
Yeah, showing me a clenched fist at the moment.
Anyway, it's quarter to eight. It's at Station Road, and it's always a good turnout and a good match in Collingham Newark Town.
I think got some decent players signed on more recently, so it's never going to be an easy game. It's a local derby.
And we always end up, because you've always got something to tell me about, the under-18s.
Yeah, under-18s did well again at the weekend. And the three that came in played well for us. One was 16-year-old, so it was hard for him to go there. We don't normally take him into Yorkshire at that age. They're not even allowed a tattoo, really. the lad did well. Yeah. So, and then they won, I don't know, 7-2 or something in the cup on Saturday. So we're hoping to get them all back together after half term and going on holiday. That again causes problems with them going where they normally filling in. So yeah, I think what you have forgotten to talk to me about is the Retford game.
You're right, because of course.
See? Have you got your bit of paper with stuff written on?
Yeah, but it ain't got Retford on it.
What's he got? Nothing.
Nothing. That was last week.
Give over. It wasn't.
Was that Wednesday?
Yeah, the Wednesday just gone, and then we played on the Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Right, right, come on, because that was absolutely a cracking result. Because we did say, didn't we, that three cup games from hell.
Yeah.
And you've won two of them. You've got to be pleased with that.
Giant killing.
I won't go that far, but.
Well, we had a minute. We had the kids in again, so you know it was a great.
I'll stick with them kids if I were you.
Yeah, we. We went 1-0 up, and 1-0 down, and went in at half time. But they overpowered us the first half. They're a good side, but we pulled ourselves round again, went out, and we've got a new lad on board, a new lad called Chris Self, who'd, by the time he came off, he couldn't even talk. Even when he got in his car to go home, he was that exhausted.
That's not the Chris Self I know and love.
Well, he's not played for a while. he got the first goal. And then George Aspling got a great free kick, bent it round the wall to give us 2-1 with about probably 15 minutes to go. So we worked hard. They then got a penalty. 5 minutes from the end, and the money lad there didn't even hit the goal. He missed it, pulled it wide.
So oh, shame.
Came away 2-1.
Good result. Have you got in the next round yet, then?
No, I don't know yet.
No. Let's try and have an home match. It would be nice.
It would, yeah. Like you said, Anna's been out buying food today. It's a long time since we bought any for the Newark game. So, yeah. We just keep, but then I think we've got away again.
Ridiculous.
I think the next couple of games are away again.
You'll keep Jerry busy after Christmas because we'll all be home games.
Well, if we can get a decent gate, we might get enough money to pay the referees. You know what I mean?
Well, you'll get me there. I'll try and sneak in and say I'm press.
All right. Instead.
Catch you on Friday, Paul.
Yeah, all right, lads.
Thanks.
Hello.
Bye bye. The wonderful. Mr. Paul Hyde, as dry as ever.
I've heard some stuff on this show, but Chris Self's not been able to speak. Come on.
That's just pushing it. Pushing it a bit too far. Right, second phone call on a Monday night at 7:20 is always a flow surf phone call. We normally talk to Craig Roach, but tonight we're honoured. We've got the brains behind the partnership. Steve Kirkham joins us for the first time, Radio Newark. Steve, good evening.
Hiya, Brit.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, yourself.
You're good, and you should be good after Saturday afternoon. You may have been warm and running about, the rest of us was absolutely freezing, but I tell you what, that performance warmed us up. 13 goals. Now, if we're trying to criticise slow serve in the last two or three weeks, you haven't really been professional and finished teams off. 4-0 at Underwood should have been 14-0 at Underwood. This week, you was professional because by half time you was 5 up. It was the easiest thing in the world to put your feet up. You did exactly the opposite. You went for the kill, and you must be so proud of them, Steve.
Yeah, obviously it was a pleasing result. Borough Washard are down there and we're strong at home, so we do expect to win the football match, but probably not in that manner. I think one of the main things behind it was the strength and depth we've added now. Obviously bringing players off the bench in Darrell and Callum, we want to prove a point, gives us that bit of fresh legs to make sure that we can push for 90 minutes. And like you said, probably the biggest fault we've had all season really is that we haven't took our chances. So Saturday really is just one of them where it clicked and effing hit the back of the net.
It did, it was joyous to watch. Tell me if you would, because we've had one in and one out this week at Flowserve, and from what I can understand, it both involves Harrowby. Harry Wakefield has gone to Harrowby, and in his place, Terrell Shannon Lewis, which is a name that I picked up last year from Clifton Allwhites as, I think, the league's top scorer. And if that is the case, and if Saturday is the case, he looks one hell of a player, Steve.
Yeah, well, we had the call from Harrowby. Things, for whatever reason, Harry's got a great pedigree, but it didn't quite click. And when you get the chance to take a player like Tizer on, it's a no-brainer, really. Second top scorer in the league last year. I think he played about 10 games less, so he got 45 and 35 last year. So, yeah, something we can turn down, really. And Harry scored a hat-trick for Harrowby, actually, so good luck to him. But we're obviously pleased to get Tizer on board. I think he had a great start. And sort of strikers we've got there now with Tizer, Sam, Kingy, Darrell coming back, Callum, got plenty of firepower now, so should be no excuses in front of goal.
And there's not a bad midfield behind him either.
No, not bad. I don't think any striker can say they've not had the chances this season.
And as Craig does point out to me, that's another game without a goal, so I've got to mention the back four and the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think we've got the best defensive record in the league. I think that's 11 goals conceded this season, so big praise has got to go to them. I think every game we've played, really, we've been solid at the back, we've created chances. The only games we've slipped up in, really, is when we haven't quite put the ball in the back of the net. We've had plenty of chances, so hopefully with the strikers we've got now, we can push on.
Talking, looking at the league, I thought Selston would probably slip up at Graham Street Primes. Unfortunately, they didn't, so Selston and Sherwood both won again. They've got to start slipping up a bit, Steve.
Yeah, well, winter's certainly coming now. Pitches start getting heavier, conditions get worse. So teams at the top will start picking up more points, start dropping points even. So all we can do is look after ourselves. We've got two home games tomorrow night and Saturday, and just keep picking up maximum points, and we'll reassess come Christmas time. And can't go on forever. We even found out last year ourselves, you can't win every game, so as long as we do our bit, we'll close the gap.
Keep that pressure. I did, looking at the league as well, Arnold picked up their second point of the season with a 2-2 draw at Belpen on paper. That's a cracking result for them. And Renouf beat West Bridgeford 2-1, but I understand Renouf have a new manager, the manager from Blidworth, and half the Blidworth team's there as well.
Yeah, well, that's it. You've got to be consistent every week. Like you say, Selston could have potentially dropped points at Primes, but they've lost two of their best players. Well, they were the best players when we played them, and they've both left. So the league changes all the time. Let's say Blyth managers have gone to Renouf, so they'll start picking up points now. Westbridge should have got a new manager. So nothing's a gimme. So we've just got to make sure we're on it every week. And if we are, I'm sure other teams will drop points.
You think you said twice now in the last sort of 10 minutes. How much do you pay attention to the opposition, or is it this is what we do, let's do our job, and if we're good enough we'll win? Or do you say, you know, these are the danger men, this is what you've got to do?
Well, I believe in the quality we've got. I don't think anyone's got as much ability of what we've got in our 15-man squad, so I always believe we can win. But Craig will probably tell you as well, I'm biased for stats. We get out a few times a week watching games. FA full time's a big help, tracks all players' performances. So yeah, do take notice, and you need to, really. Like I just said, with new managers coming in, players swapping clubs all the time, you never really know what you're coming against. So yeah, you've got to keep tabs on it, but at the same time you've got to believe in what you've got. And especially at home, if we turn up, then I fully expect us to win every football match we play.
So tomorrow night is the next one, under the Lowfields lights, Fortress Flowserve, as we like to call it now. Fifth placed Eastwood are coming to town. That's, on paper, not going to be as easy as Saturday.
No, you almost want a tougher game going into it, but I'll never turn down 3 points and plus 13 goals. But Eastwood have beat Selston in the Vars. They've beat Shuttle Colliery in the League Cup. So they beat the top two, so it's going to be a tough test and probably give us a better indicator of where we are and how good are we at home. But they're the sort of games you want to be in, under the lights, Tuesday night, hopefully a big crowd. So it's down to the players again, but like I keep going on about, what we've got in the dressing room, if we turn up and everyone gives everything, then we should win the game.
Everybody fit from Saturday, are you looking at pretty much the same 14-15?
Yeah, no injuries. There won't be many changes. We'll try and be as consistent as we can be, keep the run going. And a lot of players make themselves undroppable at the minute. Like, say, four clean sheets in a row, four wins. So it's difficult to change too much.
Good stuff. Right, well, we'll catch you tomorrow night. Get yourself down there to Lowfields. 7:45 kick-off. Big crowd expected. It'll be a cracking night, because if it was anything like Saturday, you'll be in for an absolute treat. Steve, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow night.
Cheers, Mick. Speak to you later.
Thanks. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And I've been wanting to do this one for a long time. The communications manager of Flowserve, of course, is Mr. Tony Smith. Flowserve won 13-0, and their goal scorers were...
Sam Agar, hat-trick. Elliot King, 2. Tizer, 2. Callum Smith. Jack Beckett, Tom Potts, Sol Miller, Liam Moran, and...
Oh, he's failing. He's failed. He's failed on the last one. And the name that Tony Smith could not remember. Danny Meadows.
Oh, sorry, Dan.
Not that Danny will say anything to Tony about that one. Meds. And not that I'm likely to even mention it again.
Sorry, Meds.
Some more headlines to get Tony out of the hole quickly.
Great free kick, Meds.
Went down to a single goal defeat in their bottom of the table clash with Staveley, a goal halfway through the second half doing the damage there. A shock defeat for Southwell City, the league leaders going down 3-1 at neighbours Bingham Town. Their lead at the top of the Not Senior League is now down to a single point with Cotgrave breathing down the Minster men's necks. A crowd of 159 saw Grantham Town bundles out to the FA Trophy, 4-0 at home to Hales Owen. Two goals there for a certain Mr. Lee Hughes. Remember him from his Notts County days, amongst other stories? And on to rugby, and the Lee said about Southwell's performance at Matlock the better, but at least they made the journey, which is more than Stevens' opponents did.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And this is Mr. Rob Wildman. Rob, good evening. We'll press the button and say, Rob, good evening.
Evening, Mick. Evening, folks.
It's always best if you press the button. I can hear what you're saying then, Rob. Rob, four defeats on the bounce. Are we in crisis time yet?
No, it's rugby. It's amateur rugby. Let's not get too carried away with it all. But yes, it was not a great day Saturday. We clawed a bit back in the second half. But we played poorly in the first half when Loughborough had the better of the conditions. We turned around 20 points to 5 down. Ended up losing 25-13, but we did get some pride, and we played with quite well in the second half. Didn't take all our chances.
You see, this again is one of the big differences between football and rugby. It's a sport, they're both sport, but you take it as a sport. To win is absolutely fantastic. If you don't win, well done to the opposition.
A little bit of that, but also, yeah, we were disappointed Saturday. There's no two ways about it. I was very pleased that the team, quite a changed team from the previous week. But the second half, they played much better. They played with, obviously, they were helped by the conditions. But we got back into the game and showed we could compete. There wasn't a great deal of difference in the end between the two teams, even though we lost 25-13. Tries came from Guillaume Parvert on the wing, a young French lad who's come into the team, and hooker Lewis Hemsworth scored just before half time. Lewis is having a good season. Robbie Hunter Shaw provided the kicks, and there was three more debutants. Harry Jenkins at scrum half, in from the Colts. He's at university, but he came back to play and did very well. Very good pass on him. We had big Josh Witten into the second row. he had a good first half, and Will Sage, he was a substitute, did well. Second half, Jamie Duncan, he was back fit, and he provided some good running from the forwards, so it's good to see Jamie back in. But perhaps the star of the day was Fran Appleton, the prop. Supposedly he couldn't get out of bed Monday, Tuesday, but by Saturday afternoon he wanted to play rugby, so fair play to Fran. And he had a cracking last 10 minutes and deserved a try at the end, but not couldn't quite force the ball over.
I took a few minutes to look at the division on Saturday evening, Rob, and okay, Melbourne at the moment are,
you just sneaked ahead,
sort of going ahead.
They won at Raisin in the 15-7, so Melbourne are top. Matlock, who demolished Southwell 63-14, their second. Raisin are third, having lost to Melbourne. Even though we've lost our last three league games, we remain in fourth place. It just shows how well we played in the when the sun was shining and the autumn hadn't really started. We won our first three league games, but we've not managed to win a game in October, no.
But this is the thing that with the league, Melbourne, yes, okay, that they've got a little gap at the top. Southwold 10 points adrift at the bottom, and that's got to be very worrying for them. But 9 points separate number 2 to 11.
No, it's a competitive league. There's nobody really falling off. Okay, so Southwell haven't won a game yet, but I'm sure they may well turn it around, although they have, as you say, they are now 10 points adrift, which is worrying. I thought Southwell would have shown some progress and improvement in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but they haven't, and to lose 63-14 at Matlock is worrying for them. Yeah.
I mean, not many go to Matlock and win, but that's a heavy defeat.
Surprising to lose by so many. I think the good thing for us on Saturday, you know, we started poorly. Loughborough had the better of the conditions, so they took their chances. We gave them daft tries, but we came back and we scored just before half time. That got us back into the game, and the second half we dominated with the conditions, and we got a second try through the winger and came back at Loughborough, and in the end again it was an amazing game, even though absolutely a very, very cold afternoon at Loughborough. They had four players sin bin, and they had one sin bin just before half time. I think it probably showed the amount of possession and the amount of attack Newark had in the second half, because Loughborough finished defending desperately with 12 men. But in between all that, all the Newark pressure in the second half, the real kick in the teeth moment was when Loughborough scampered away and they scored a breakaway try, which just about sealed it. And that try came after our second try, when we got within losing bonus point territory.
We'll come back, Rob, to what you've got this weekend in a minute, but I must ask you, the Premiership champion Saracens got off to a winning start in the newly reformed Premiership Rugby Cup. They beat Leicester. My grandson watched Falcons and Exeter in a draw, and he was excited by the afternoon because he got his photo taken with two of the Falcons. What, Rob, is the Premiership Rugby Cup?
Well, if you boys, it's well, let's call it, it's the Mickey Mouse Premiership, really. It's a league cup. Last probably 6-7 years, they've had an Anglo during the autumn internationals, and during the Six Nations season, they've had a secondary cup, and it's a secondary competition. It's when the England players aren't around, and the Premiership clubs have formed themselves into another competition. They were in bed with the Anglo with the Welsh teams up until this last season. For whatever reason, the Welsh have gone one way and we've gone the other, so that the Premiership teams have decided to launch their own Premiership Cup, which is basically a league cup, a secondary competition. And I must admit, I've shown very little interest in it, and I couldn't even tell you what groups the clubs are playing in. It's on TV, and obviously if people have been reading during the week, the Premiership have announced a longer season after the World Cup season next year.
This is sort of part two, Rob, of the question, because the next three English domestic rugby seasons will be extended and include in-season breaks with players limited to a maximum of 35 matches of campaign, yet they're playing Mickey Mouse Cups.
It's a land grab by the Premiership, and they've created a second competition, and it's been received very lukewarmly by the press. We'll see how it rolls along.
Finally then, Rob, what have you got this weekend for us?
We are at home, Market Raisin, and I know you're very keen on kick-off times. We're kicking off at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
We've got permission from the RFU to kick off at 3 o'clock. The floodlight work has been done. We've cut the trees back. We've realigned the bulbs, you can tell Tony that, and they've been given a polish. So we have shining lights. We're allowed to kick off at 3 o'clock. And people ask the reason why. Well, obviously, we're catering for bigger numbers now. We've got the new clubhouse, so a 3 o'clock kickoff allows us to do a bit more catering and a bit more hospitality. Hopefully, may create an even better atmosphere than we normally have down at Kelham Road. But it's a 3 o'clock kickoff against our old rivals, Market Raisin, on Saturday.
And it's the correct time.
The week after, we're at Spalding in the NLD in the Notts Links Derby. Shield, and that's a 2:15 kickoff. So
are you going to Spalding, or are you still traumatised?
No, I am still traumatised, obviously. But looking at my chaotic diary, I could well be at Spalding, but I may not be there next Saturday.
Okay, Rob, we'll catch up with you very soon. We won't be next Monday because we are at the rugby club next Monday night.
Right,
going ooh, ah, and bang, and all things like that because it's bonfire night.
It'll be a good night. If the weather's good, it's always a good night. Yeah.
So. Matt Corbourne's the guy, and I'll probably be Guy Fawkes. I don't know. We'll see. Rob, we'll catch up with you. Okay, we'll get something arranged for next week, I'll talk to you at the weekend.
3 o'clock V Raisin.
3 o'clock V Market Raisin. Yep. Newark's old friends. That's excellent. Rob,
okay,
thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. The wonderful Mr. Rob Wildman. Tony, while you was out of the office, so to speak, making the phone calls, I said 159 people watched Grantham Town bundled out of the FA Trophy at home to Hales Owen. In the National League, that's the one below Notts County's lot, yeah. The lowest crowd of the day was Braintree against Dover at 575. In the National League South, Truro versus Dartford managed to attract 87 people. Having said that, the game is at Torquay and not 100 miles away at Truro, where it should be, but 87 people. And in the Northern Premier East match, Spalding against Gresley, 89 people. So the 82 that actually braved a freezing, cold, wet, windy, awful Saturday afternoon at Lowfields ain't bad. Well done, people of Newark.
It was a cracking turnout, to be honest. I mean, it was freezing rain. It was the coldest day recorded in October for 10 years, and we got a crowd of 82. I was absolutely thrilled. I went on Facebook, on the Newark Flow Surf Saturday Facebook, to say thank you to the Hardy Souls, and said see you Tuesday night 7:45.
In the preview to this match, I said that sometime in the hour Tony Smith would mention the F word, which you just have done. And I also said that Mick Bradley would talk about his twin town. Well, Whitley Bay drew 1-1 with Ashington. Kieran Brennan scoring the goal for the Seahorses in front of a crowd of 341, the fourth highest Step 5 crowd of the day.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm told it was very cold at Whitley Bay on Saturday afternoon.
It tends to get a bit nippy up there. But just going back to our prediction about the F word, I said 25-0. It was 13. Three goals were ruled out for offside with the ball in the net. We hit the post, and the referee blew up bang on 45 minutes in the second half, a bit like a boxing referee stopping a fight that was only going one way. But if we'd have played the right amount of stoppage time, we could have got very close to that 25, I think.
Point is, you got it wrong. I said double figures, so I got it right. Right, you don't like the FA, do you?
No.
Right, Alfreton Town could win £36,000 if they win on first round day. Sunderland, who are also playing in the first round of the FA Cup, received £15 million in FA-approved parachute payments at the start of the season for abject failure in getting relegated. So Alfton could win £36,000 and Sunderland got £15 million for being the worst team in the Championship.
Mm.
There's something badly wrong.
And Alfreton deserve every penny they get, because anywhere where you can get a sausage sandwich for a pound is my idea of a football ground.
I just... FA Trophy, very quick one before we go to Mr. Halfpenny. Baseford United won 2-1 at Cambridge City, which is a fantastic result for Baseford. I keep on about Baseford because 5 years ago they were with Flo Servant now. This is what can be done. And in the next round they've been drawn at home to Stafford Rangers.
Have they indeed?
One of your yes.
Oh my. Brilliant.
Coming up next, Mr. Paul Halfpenny. And to our fourth and final phone call, and many of you say we save the best till last, but I treat everybody equal. Mr. Paul Halfpenny, welcome to Radio Newark.
Good evening.
See, I told you it was tight, Paul. It was very tight. What goes off in the ad break here, you don't really want to know. Paul, lots to talk about. Let's start with the ladies' ones. And I was told by one of your players, it was, whew, we got away with that. In the fact, it took you a long time to score the goal because you were so much more the better team.
Yeah, it's been a bit frustrating so far this season with the lack of goals. Once again, we did a better warm-up than they did. We were ready to go, whistle went, and to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think they got over our 23 in the first 20 minutes. We were completely dominant. We had 7 or 8 penalty corners in the first half, numerous chances. They cleared 2 off the line. Goalkeeper was not making any mistakes whatsoever. I don't think we worked the keeper hard enough, but she made no mistakes whatsoever. And 0-0 at half time. And goodness knows how many shots on goal we had. I'm so pleased I didn't keep stats, to be honest with you, because it was just so much one way traffic. Second half, they decided to spoil the game. They absolutely packed the midfield. They put five people in midfield and got their striker to play deeper. And it stopped us playing, and it turned into a right scrappy affair for long periods of the game. But we were still dominant, and I think one of the most impressive signings for a while, Laura Harris, she worked tirelessly through the game, and she's the one that instigated the goal. She picked the ball up deep in her own half, won the ball, sorry, deep in her own half. She ran about 50 metres with the ball, slipped it inside. Can't remember quite who she slipped it to, but that person slipped it through to Danny. Danny went one-on-one with the keeper. And before I go any further, I'll just say last Wednesday night, that's what we were doing. We were doing a lot of one-on-ones with the keeper, as well as transferring the ball around the back. And it paid off. She floored the keeper, took it round her, and slotted it into the goal to go 1-0 up. It was one of those games where we had far too many shots on goal without success. And believe it or not, our goalkeeper didn't have to make one save all game.
Important, very important 3 points. So we got Repton won again, which we all expected, but they only beat Kettering by 5-0, and Kettering are at the bottom. So have Repton peaked?
I honestly don't know. It's difficult to say, because there's been some strange results coming out recently, and teams are beating teams, if you know what I mean. It's sort of nullifying the league and keeping us in with a sort of a glimmer of hope of sneaking up that league. If we could turn over the university on Saturday, that would put us in an absolutely amazing position in the league, really, to finish off this half of the season. But, it's whether we can put the ball in the back of the net. That's the big thing.
That seems to be the case, doesn't it? The hockey club report from Emily Crisp is just gone on our website, and she tells us that the deadlock was broken 18 minutes into the second half. The impressive Laura Harris disposed the Harborough right off, accelerated at pace some 50 metres, leaving her in a wake, fed the ball in field, and the deft touch found Danny Ashwell, who went one-on-one with the keeper. Sublime skill put the keeper on the floor, and the ball flicked over into a gaping goal. I tell you, that's professional stuff, isn't it?
I wonder who wrote that, Mick.
I wonder. Oh, dear. No mention of Mr. Paul Halfpenny anywhere, but there you go. The ladies' twos played Southwell twos.
Oh, our noisy neighbours that are very noisy at the moment. Yeah,
no, very quiet. Right.
Yeah, very, very quiet at the bottom of the league there. Yeah.
Good lad.
It was pretty much one-way traffic, according to all reports. Three goals. It was a fairly easy game for the twos. As would be expected, to be honest with you. You know, I do believe our twos are playing a league lower than they should be. But goals from Ellie Smith, Lady Sinead Bradley on the score sheet again, and a new girl, Jade Bolton, new signing, made a debut, got on the score sheet, quite an impressive player.
I've got to ask you, Paul, Lady Sinead Bradley.
Yeah, Lady Sinead Bradley, yeah.
Come on.
Well, wife of the MP.
Oh, right. I've got it now. Right. Of course. Right.
Keep up.
Yes. No, sorry. I've got it now. It's the name Bradley I can't follow. Ladies Freeze played the North Knots Twos.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yes. Not a lot. Not many to do. Quite a lot. Yes.
I got a message from Emily while I was still at Market Harbour, saying it was shocking. The whole team just didn't perform. We had a few fourth teamers in because, well, I'll have my little rant again. You know, you pay all this money to be a member of a club. They reduce the league size by a team, so you've only got nine teams in a league. And then you clear off on holiday when you should be playing. Don't get it.
It's not the longest season out either, is it?
I can't get my head around it. And so we were lacking in players, and sadly they got what they deserved. Apparently,
I say it about our footballers, Paul, on a regular basis. Jaguars wheelchair basketball team played a fixture at Glasgow this weekend, and they all went. And they all took the chairs, and they all took the sports chairs. They played the game, and they come back. And guess what? Glasgow are coming down to Newark next week to play the return fixture. Yet, some of our teams, people just can't make the effort to turn. I don't know. I really don't. I'm with you. It mystifies me why people play for a club and then do other things on a match day morning, but...
Yeah, you see some of the excuses on Teamer. It just makes you want to cry.
It does. And I'm not forgetting the Force this time because they played Aztecs.
Please don't forget the Force. No. Because a certain Sally Halfpenny played her first game this season and all accounts had an absolute stormer. So
I now feel very sorry for Ashfield Aztecs.
Yes, apparently their coach, when he saw Sally, had his head in his hands. But sadly, we didn't have enough firepower and the Fours went down 2-0. But valiant effort by them.
Good stuff. And both the men's ones and twos fell to defeats to Nottingham and to Derby, respectively.
Well, I umpired the men's first team game and... to be honest with you, if the men were still playing now, they wouldn't have scored.
Right.
They looked brilliant. They really looked good going from their own D through to the opponent's D, playing some really good fluent hockey, but they don't have a Scooby-Doo how to put the ball in the back of the net. I think it must be catching. Ladies' ones, men's ones, they can't score for toffee, and it's kind of worrying a little bit. So, I'm hoping for better things. I'm hoping that just keep creating chances and hopefully one will go in to win a game.
Lots of hockey to come this weekend. Ladies travel to the Notts University. The Notts University travel to Newark to play the men. So there's an awful lot going off this weekend, including on Sunday. In my book, at least, the veterans, or the over-40s, whichever one you want to call it, play City of Peterborough. Is that a run-out for you, Mr. Halfpenny?
Run out for me. I also had a run out for the threes this week as well.
No, that's just getting yourself ready for this big one, then, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we turned over an 18-0 the week before to a 3-0, which we bossed the game, to be honest. So, a slightly different approach with the third team, having a few senior players in. And, it's a nice little warm-up game ready for next Sunday. Looking forward to that. Always like playing in the veterans games. It's good fun. It's nothing too serious.
We'll have a pop down and see you. Nothing next Monday, Paul, because we're at the rugby club doing the bonfire thing, so I've got to go and do some comparing there. So we'll probably catch it with you probably week on first, and you can review and preview. Have one of those nights, but we'll get all that worked out sometime over the weekend.
Wonderful.
Okay, Paul, best of luck on Sunday then. And lots of hockey again. Catch you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paul. Bye. Couple of quick stories, Tony, before we go. North Ferriby United. Went up the leagues, didn't they? Up, and now they're coming down.
I've seen them play at FC United.
Now, they look likely now to become East Hull FC and relocate 11 miles away into the city from their present home. Oh. So, if that is the case, North Ferriby will be no more.
That is a tremendous shame, because it's very much a village club.
Yes. There is a petition going around on Facebook at the moment.
I'm not surprised. That's disappointed here. Because, you get clubs like that and they are the heart and soul of the community, aren't they? And then if you move 11 miles into the city, that strips the community spirit.
And sell that land for housing. Or something. Mm. Like that. But that's what potentially could be happening to North Ferriby. It's a funny old world, the world of football, because, you've got Basford going from rags to riches. You've got Ferriby on the way from riches to rags. Make the best of it while the good times are here. And the good times are certainly here for your lot.
Yeah, it's great times. The last two matches we played, we were 3-0 up at half-time and didn't act upon it. The importance of Saturday and the 13-0 is that it's going to be tight at the top come the end of the season with us, Sherwood Colliery and Selston, but we now have a plus 42 goal difference, which is 10 more, or 10 greater, than either of our rivals.
Points back, so there's a long time to go yet, an awful long time. Tomorrow night you're having yet another one of your nights off.
Oh, it's the first time I've heard about a Monday night off.
Yes, well, that's bonfire night. The lean, not-so-mean Speed Machine returns to Radio North Sport tomorrow night.
Talking of Guy Fawkes night, that's the last time a man entered Parliament with honest intentions.
Becky Gallup's in the studio tomorrow. You're going to miss Becky's return to Radio North Sport.
You always get the best ones in when I'm not here.
Yes, Becky's going to talk about her year so far, because she is, at the minute, at least for another couple of weeks, the sports person of the year. So she's going to talk about that, and we're going to talk a bit about the sports therapy. We did the food, we're now doing the therapy, and in a couple of weeks' time we've got the ambulance people coming in to tell us why you don't have a bucket and sponge anymore. So, we'll talk about anything and everything here. One final word on the traffic before we go. A46 south at Flintham, it looks like it's standing, going nowhere. Avoid the area if you can. It doesn't look very good at all. So from me and from him, who's not here tomorrow night because he's on another night off, as I might have mentioned, we'll see you soon. Me tomorrow night, not him, because he's not here again.